on light. He's so, so good, isn't he? We started singing the first song, How Good He Is. He's a good God. He loves us. He's coming after your kids. That's what I was sitting there. I said, he's coming after them. He's going to chase them down. He's after them. Ooh, they're going to get them. He got all of us. He's going to get them too. Hallelujah. Psalm 112 says, shout in celebration of praise to the Lord. Everyone who loves the Lord and delights in him will cherish his words and be blessed beyond expectation. Their descendants will be prosperous and influential. Every generation of his godly lovers will experience his favor. Great blessing and wealth fills the house of the wise, for their integrity endures forever. Even if darkness overtakes them, sunrise brilliance will come bursting through, because they are gracious to others, so tender and true. Hallelujah. God is good. Woo! I'm excited today. I didn't come here excited. But I'm excited now. There was an anointing on I Speak Jesus with Natalie Grant. I played it before, but for some reason today it was like, woo, glory. All right, let's receive our tithes and offerings. Matt's already back at the back desk. Alan's not here today. And Crystal doesn't feel well. She got what Alan had. Trish is back, hallelujah. If you need an envelope, raise your hand. She'll come around and give you one. And if you want to give through a debit or credit card, just turn around and see Matt back there, and he will help you. You got a word? Oh, okay. All right. Doesn't fit right now? Oh, okay. Yeah, if anybody else has a word, just hold it, and we'll release those prophetic words people got. I should have said something like, does anybody have a word? Does anybody ever see certain numbers at certain times? I've been getting 111. You too? 111, like on the clocks, on my coffee maker, in the car, on the phone. You're getting 444. Well, today, the Lord told me to read Deuteronomy 111. So, it says, may the Lord, the God of your fathers, increase you 1,000-fold more than you are and bless you, just as he has promised you. So I like that 111. Yeah. So if you keep seeing those numbers, you should look it up and see what they mean. Because it's good. God's giving you another message to prophetically through numbers. Numbers are, you know, they're important to God. He uses numbers. Praise you, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Patricia's our first time visitor. Okay. Trish, meet Patricia. She comes to our prayer. She's a really good prayer warrior. You need a pen? Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Well, as they're receiving the tithes and offerings, things out of paper. There's rolls of paper on the bottom, I believe. Are they there, the rolls? Okay. I'm sorry about that. So it's going to take a few minutes. All right. So anyway, family talk. All right, let's see. Let's pray for the sick right now. Father, we give you praise and we give you glory for all that you're doing right now. Lord, we know that many have been attacked this week with sickness. I think of Brad's mother right now and Trisha's mom and who else that we've been praying for? Debbie's mom, Eve's friend, Dan, huh? Jay Helm, oh my goodness, Linda's sister, I hope she's okay by now. Keegan and Andrew. Lord, we lift up all these people to you right now. David, Wayne, Mom, we're going to call them into the kingdom too. So, Father, we thank you today, Lord. You're so, so good. You're the message today, you're going after them. So, Lord, we thank you. It said, Jesus, you're the healer. So we send that healing word right into all those people we mentioned right now, from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet. Also, we call in all those that aren't saved yet into the kingdom, Lord. We lift them all up, all our friends, our family, Lord, that we've been praying for years. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to chase them down and transform them into the likeness of Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you and praise you right now. And we give you all the glory for what you're doing at this time. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Jesus' name. Did anybody else get a word besides Craig? So I'm just filling in some time here until I get that roll going. Thank you, Lord. Huh? Yeah, Trish takes them and she's got to put them in the computer. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Nothing from the Schillers today? No word from the Lord? You got nothing? Oh. Wow. God is good. Yes, we're going through there. Right to the other side. Let's all jump in. Shoo! Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Glory, glory. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus, 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 Jesus. He's so awesome. He is so awesome. Thank you, Jesus. So the spiritual warfare that's been going on, it's been intense, hasn't it? Well, it was prophesied it was going to be. We got July 18th, August 18th, September 18th, October 18th. Got to stay strong, people. That's my message for today. Okay, good. Okay, she... Tell them about the wind.
It's not really... It was a dream, a vision, and I was in my room, and it was like the room shook from the wind that was in there, and I popped up out, and at first I was afraid because that's how strong the wind was, and I was afraid, and I laid there. I said, okay, God, here we go. What does this mean? So it came to me to go and look up the meaning of the dream, and it talked about change is coming, and it talked about that the change was going to be a powerful change, going in a good direction. And I couldn't believe it, because that's all that what God has been saying to me. And that, just hold on. Your change is coming. And so I speak that, say, you know, it's amazing. God told me to speak this to y'all this morning, but I wasn't going to do it because I was just like, God, oh, they don't want to hear this. But let me tell you something. You've been waiting on your change. It's coming. It's here. It's here. So, because if the room shook for me, that means it's shaking for my brothers and sisters too. Okay? This thing, the madness that was going on, it's over. Our children need to be saved. My son is on drugs so bad right now until you wouldn't even believe it. But you know what? I know that God has him. And so I can get up every day and I can leave out the house and confident that because he saved me, because I was a bad drug addict myself, bad. Didn't use drugs. I was a junkie, okay? And if God can do it for me, he can do it for your children. He can do it for your household. He can do it for whatever concerns you. And if you got a pastor like Karen, who constantly encourages me to go on and to believe God, I got it going on this morning. Thank God for the wind that changes things.
That kind of goes with my message, too. Now, you got something? Deja, I was going to say, you got something? Okay, let me pray and then we'll call up Craig because he's got something to say from the Lord. So, Father, we thank you and praise you already for today, Lord. You're speaking to us. You're with us. You never leave us. Lord, we just thank you for blessing these tithes and offerings today, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for blessing your people. And, Lord, we thank you that you take care of us. You supply every need. You know everything about us, Lord. And Lord, you can even count every hair in our head. And Lord, that's amazing. So Lord, you're a personal God. So Lord, we thank you and praise you for the supernatural debt cancellations and bills being paid and everything that we need and provide for us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Okay, Craig.
The field, there's a field, and the field is white from one end to the other, and he says that the white isn't snow and other things that it could be white from. It's white from wheat. The wheat, the harvest, is ripe to reaping. Now, he says, I'm going to fill your heart each time it needs to be done to tell the person that's present with you about me. All of this wheat, it goes from one end of the field to the other, and it's time to get to work. All hands on deck. Everything needs to be spoken of two things, my love and my gift. Don't give any thought to your left or to your right of the tares found in this field. They'll take care of themselves, and who knows, maybe even the day will come when that tare will see my truth and go through what you may have heard of as repentance. So if you get rejected at the time you tell others of my love, it's not you. It's not you. You planted the seed. And then there's going to be another time, there's going to be a time to come after that, where somewhere in the byways and the highways, the supermarket, the workplace, that someone is standing with you. And you get that tingling and that inkling that it's time to reveal the reality of my son Jesus and his love for them. And now there's going to be a power that might not have been there too often for you that is going to open their heart. It's going to open their heart right at that time. And they're going to start receiving what they may not have received before. And that field is going to start getting reaped one after the next, after the next, after the next. And it's hard for the son, it's hard for the daughter to realize how big this is. all hands on deck, and my grace is going to follow you, and you're never going to be without doing this.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Woo!
Oh, I forgot one more thing that happened this week. I think Karen and I had been somewhere, and I left there, and I went to Giant, and I was just my usual self walking into Giant, and the girl at the checkout, when she looked up and seen me, she looked at my earrings, and she said, "Oh my goodness, those are pretty earrings," and I was like, "Okay," and I heard a voice say, "Give her your earrings." And I took them off, and I put them in her hand. And she said, "What is this?" I said, "I'm giving you these earrings. I've got hundreds of them, and I really do, you know." And I said, "Here." She started crying. She said to me, she said, "You don't know what I've been going through." She said, she did say, "This might change my life," but she just said, "For someone to just come up and hand me a pair of earrings and put them in," and she started crying. And she said, "Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you." And I wanted to just jump on it, but it wasn't time. There was somebody in the line in back of us. And I had to let her come and check her food out. But just the fact that a pair of earrings, just like Craig just said, broke open her heart at the checkout line. And she said, "You don't know what this means to me."
Praise you, Jesus. Come on. Come on.
I think it's happening everywhere. And it's so exciting, really, because you're just doing your everyday thing. And I know lately I've been mumbling and grumbling about going to work. Poor Craig. I got to go to work today. But it's every day something happens. And this, we were coming to the end of the day, this was like 2 days ago, and an older woman came in the door, and she just had tears starting to roll down her face. And I looked at her and I said, "Are you okay? How can I help you today?" And it was almost closing time. And she said, "I don't even know why I'm here." She said, "I just came from the doctor's office and they told me I have cancer." And she said, and I don't know what to do. And I was like, "Oh Lord, okay." And a woman that I've kind of been witnessing to, a coworker, we were the only two there, and she spoke with her just for a second, and the woman was just desperate. And so I took her hand and I asked her name. Her name's Joan, so pray for Joan. And I said, "You know what? God loves you so much. Let's just ask him to be with you even in this very moment." And so in that second, she received it. And then she goes, "I'm okay now. I think I'm okay now." And I said, "Okay." And she goes, "You know what?" She goes, "I think I need to look for a sweater." And I was like, "Okay, we can do that." And that's a practical. And then God said, "What about the sweater that I just told you to put aside that's up front in the bag?" I'm like, oh, that's so cool, God. And so I showed her a couple of other things, and she's like, oh, no. I said, "Hang on." So I went up, I got the sweater out of the bag. Well, I wasn't sure if I was supposed to get it for me or who I was supposed to get it for, and I hadn't paid for it yet. But I thought, you know what? So anyway, I brought it out, and her eyes lit up. And it was a real soft white sweater. She goes, "It doesn't have any buttons." I said, "No, this is the wrap around you kind." And I said, "You know what? You're supposed to have that." First, I said, "Try it on, look in the mirror," all that kind of thing. And she's just, you could tell, she's just cozying into it. And I was like, just wrap your arms around her, God. And so she said, "I just feel so good in this sweater." And I said, "You know what? I want you to have this sweater." And she looked at me and I said, "No, I want you to have this sweater because I want every time you put this on, I believe God is telling you he loves you. You're safe, and he's giving you hope." Amen. So, like, whenever you have a moment, just go for it, because you just don't know what God's doing. So, amen.
Glory.
Wow. Wow. Woo. We've got to keep our feelers on when we're out there, huh? Wow, that's amazing. Glory to God. Wow. Ooh, ooh, I'm just like, I'm excited. Okay, October 5th, Sunday at 10:30, Robert Dossie's going to be back with us. Oh, every Tuesday at 3 o'clock we have prayer. So if you're available, come on out, okay? I'm right into this October here. What we're going to do for Rob, it just so happened to be his 18th anniversary that he was launched out of here. 18 years ago, exactly that date. So he wants to bring his family, but I don't know if that's going to be possible because it's expensive, you know. I forgot how many kids he has. Six. Well, anyway, so I thought what we could do here to surprise him is to have like our luncheon type, you know, how we have everything set up like a luncheon and he'll speak and everything, and then we can have a party. Okay, afterwards, and we'll celebrate his 18th year. I can't believe it's 18 years ago. I'm like, what year was that? What year was that? 2007. That's crazy, isn't it? Okay, so that I'll have that all ready and pretty soon, and we'll have sign-up sheets and you know, bringing food items and stuff like that. Then November 2nd, Sunday, 10:30, Ed Callens will be back with us. And then December 7th, at a Sunday, 10:30, Dean Braxton will be back with us. And then going into 2026, oh my God. February 1st, 2026, Dennis Rainier will be back with us on a Sunday at 10:30. So that's what I have. And if you have any prayer requests, just pick up one of these schedules in the back and on the bottom. Their cell phone numbers, just text with the prayer request. All righty? You're all good? Good, I'm glad. Praise you, Jesus. All right, let me open up in prayer and then we'll get into what the Lord wants to say today. Father, we just give you all the praise and all the glory for what you already have done, Lord. I thank you, Lord, as we come together, you're strengthening us. You're giving a joy, filling us up with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you. You're giving us a supernatural hope and a discernment like never before. You're making us very strong right now. We have all the weapons that we need to fight against this spiritual warfare. So, Lord, we thank you right now for that. We thank you, Lord, that we are good ground to receive everything that you have to say to us today, to build our spirits up. So, Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So a couple of weeks ago, the first video I played from Chuck Pierce, remember the prophet? He gave a word that beginning on July 18th, for the next 3 months, we were going to have intense spiritual warfare. But he said, hold on and hold fast to your beliefs and your truths that the Lord has given us, because we're going to make it through. But of course, you know, when spiritual warfare is very heavy, you know what comes after that. A big breakthrough. That's why we're going through all this. So, and then 2 weeks ago, the Lord gave me a message on our foundations that maybe had cracks in it and we needed to repair and close them up. And the way we do that, we have to get back into the Word of God, get it in our spirits so that we're ready for anything that comes to us. So the Lord is encouraging us to study and meditate on the Word. It builds our faith. It has authority to overcome the enemy. The Word makes us strong, and we can pray for others to see the Holy Spirit bring transformation. Amen. So the message today, the title is Authority of the Believer, which is an old message, but it's a new message for right now because we all need it. We need to build up our spirits up. Glory to God. So, as born-again believers, we need to exercise our rights and our privileges in Christ. And we are instructed in the Word of God to take authority over all the demonic forces. We've been given all authority because Jesus has been given all authority and all power in heaven and on this earth. In Matthew 28, 18 to 19, it says, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We don't even have to go to the nations. It's right here, okay? Right in our backyard. All the authority belongs to him. Jesus gave us his delegated authority. We cannot understand our calling or Christ's commission unless we get understanding and revelation of our authority as a believer in Christ. Delegated authority means a person given power or authority to act for others, a representative, an agent, or someone. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:20 that we are Christ's ambassadors here on this earth. We represent him. The mandate to us as believers, we have been given delegated authority from Jesus to rule and reign on this earth with his authority. A good example of this is to have authority, you must be under authority, is found in Matthew chapter 8, 5 through 10. Now let's look at that. Deja, I'll put it up on the board. Matthew, what did I say? 8, 5 through 10. Okay, it says, when Jesus entered the village, this is Passion Translation. When Jesus entered the village of Capernaum, a captain in the Roman army approached him, asking for a miracle. Lord, he said, I have a son who is lying in my home, paralyzed and suffering terribly. Jesus responded, I will go with you and heal him. But the Roman officer interjected, Lord, who am I to have you come into my house? I understand your authority, for I too am a man who walks under authority, and I have authority over soldiers who serve under me. I can tell one to go and he'll go, and another to come and he'll come. I order my servants and they'll do whatever I ask. So I know that all you need to do is to stand here and command healing over my son, and he will be instantly healed. Just like when we send out the healing word, right? Jesus was astonished when he heard this and said to those who were following him, he has greater faith than anyone I've encountered in Israel. Wow, he got that right away. The spoken word has authority, and we could send that word, even if we're not with that person. So before we were born again, we looked like this. Let's turn to Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. It says, and his fullness fills you, even though you were once like corpse, dead in your sins and offenses. It wasn't that long ago that you lived in your religion, customs, and values of this world, obeying the dark ruler of the earthly realm who fills the atmosphere with his authority and works diligently in the hearts of those who are disobedient to the truth. That's how we were living, even though we didn't realize it. says we were living in darkness in our sins and obeying the dark rulers of this world. And after we become born again, we are like this. Ephesians 2, 4 through 10. It says, but God still loved us, even in our mess. Just like he goes for the one, right? But God still loved us with such a great love. He is so rich in compassion and mercy, even when we were dead and doomed in our many sins. He united us into the very life of Christ and saved us by his wonderful grace. He raised us up with Christ, the exalted one, and we ascended with him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm. For we are now co-seated as one with Christ. That blows me away. You know why? Because last week when we were watching when I had to stop the meeting and put on Chuck Pierce, The Day of the Lord, and he was talking about being co-seated with Jesus. So when, get a mindset of this. I mean, I kind of knew it, but I didn't. Okay, here we are on earth, right? The second heaven is where all the demonic goes on. Third heaven is heaven. When we're born again, we are seated all the way up there with Christ, with the same authority he has, and we look down. Those things shouldn't come near us, because we have authority like him over everything that goes on here in the earth and in the second heaven. Think about that. That's crazy. That's incredible. That's what it means to be co-seated with Christ in authority. That blew my mind. I finally really got it. I mean, I had it, but I didn't. So I hope you got it. Praise God. So born-again believers are now his heirs. Everything that the Father has is ours. Galatians 4:7. Let's turn to Galatians 4:7. Page 520. It's Galatians 4:7. Page 520. I was going to say, I did something wrong here. Okay. It says, now we're no longer living like slaves under the law. Because of Jesus, he paid for all that, the curse of the law. But we enjoy being God's very own sons and daughters. And because we're his, we can access everything our Father has. For we are heirs of God through Jesus, the Messiah. Woo! Jesus talks about authority also with the 70 missionaries. Remember that? Let's look that up. Luke 10:17. I'm giving you a lot of scriptures today because we need to get built up today for everything that comes against us. So it says, when the 70 missionaries returned to Jesus, they were ecstatic with joy, telling him, Lord, even the demons obeyed us when we commanded them in your name. Jesus replied, while you were ministering, he said, while they were doing the work, his work, he saw Satan tumble until he fell suddenly from heaven like lightning to the ground. That means they stopped the enemy from progressing. Now you understand that I have imparted to you all my authority to trample over his kingdom. You will trample upon every demon before you and overcome every power Satan possesses. Absolutely nothing will be able to harm you as you walk in this authority. Woohoo! That's incredible! So we do too. We also have the same power and the authority that Jesus gave them to trample upon demonic forces. The word authority in Greek, it means exousia. It means ruling power, being authorized to act, having the right to do something. The source of our authority is the delegated authority of Christ, which he regained from the devil through the victory on the cross and his resurrection. The word power means here in the Greek, dunamis power, dynamite power, means inherent power, the ability to act, having the might, efficiency, and the ability to do something. That's the same word in Pentecost, Acts 1:8, when it says, you will receive power, dunamis power, from the Holy Spirit when it comes upon you. Now the position of the risen Christ is his authority. Ephesians 1:20 to 23 says the Father seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Whew. Wow, I'm going to read it in the Passion now. Wow, can you see? You got authority, people. We got to walk in our authority. Ephesians 1 through 20. Okay. Let me start in 19. It says, I pray that you will be continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. As we're going around the streets, in the stores, everywhere we go. This is the mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him to the place of the highest honor and supreme authority in the heavenly realm. And now he is exalted as first above every ruler, authority, government, realm of power in existence. He is gloriously enthroned over every name that is ever praised, not only in this age, but in the age that is coming. And he alone is the leader and the source of everything needed in the church. God has put everything beneath the authority of Jesus Christ and has given him the highest rank above all others. And now we, his church, are his body on the earth, and that which fills him who is being filled by it. And then it says, and his fullness fills us, fills you. Woo! We got power, we got authority. And then in Ephesians 2:6, it says, God has raised us up together with Christ and made us all sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So it confirms that in that scripture. So we are above the earthly demonic world system because we are now seated above it all in authority over it with Jesus. Yes. Woo! Yeah. Now we need to understand the devil's authority after the fall of man in Genesis up to the cross and the resurrection. The devil shows Jesus his kingdom. Let's turn there. The temptation of Christ. It's found in Luke 4:1-13. Pages are sticking today. It says here, From the moment of his baptism, Jesus was overflowing with the Holy Spirit. He was taken by the Spirit from the Jordan into a lonely wilderness of Judea to experience the ordeal of testing by the accuser for 40 days. He ate no food during this time and ended his 40-day fast very hungry. It was then the devil said to him, "If you're really the Son of God, command this stone to turn into a loaf of bread for you." Jesus replies, "I will not, for it is written in the scriptures, life does not come only from eating bread, but from God. Life flows from every revelation from his mouth." The devil lifted Jesus high into the sky and in the flash showed him all the kingdoms in the regions of the world. Now take a picture of his. Devil is showing Jesus the world, okay? The devil then says to Jesus, "All of this, with all its power, authority, and splendor, is mine to give to you, whoever I wish. Just do one thing, Jesus, and you will have it all. Simply bow down to worship me, and it will be yours. You will possess everything." Jesus rebuked him and said, "Satan, get behind me. For it is written in the scriptures, only one is worthy of adoration. You will worship before the Lord your God and love him supremely." Next, the devil took Jesus to Jerusalem and sat him on the highest point of the temple and tempted him there, saying, "If you really are the Son of God, jump down in front of all the people, for it is written in the scriptures, God has given his angels instructions to protect you from harm. For the hands of the angels will hold you up and keep you from hurting even the 1 foot on a stone." And Jesus replied, "It is also written in the scriptures, how dare you rebuke the Lord your God?" That finished the devil's harassment for the first time. So he stood off at a distance, retreating until a time came to return to tempt Jesus again, just like he does with us. We're no different. So, the devil claims that he has authority over all the kingdoms of this world. He claims that this authority was given to him, and he claims that he can delegate that authority to whomever he wishes. Notice that Jesus doesn't argue these claims, but rejects the temptation with the Word of God. The Word has authority. So it's very clear about why Jesus came to earth. It says in 1 John 3:8, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he destroy the works of the devil." Jesus came as a man to undo and destroy the devil and his works, which includes sin, sickness, poverty, demons, spiritual death. So now we have eternal life in Christ. And it started the day we all became born again believers. God's original plan for Adam and Eve is found in Genesis 1:26-28, but we're not going to turn there. I'll give you a quick, short overview of what happened in the garden. Adam and Eve, they were created in God's image, right? They were given rulership over the earth to subdue it. They were made to be fruitful and to multiply. They were given dominion or authority over every creature and given stewardship to guard, protect, and to cultivate the earth. Man's responsibility was to have dominion, and in the Hebrew, the word dominion means radah, which means reign. So we were supposed to reign and rule here. So what the heck happened when Adam and Eve, when they sinned? Adam gave his authority to Satan when he chose to submit to Satan's word rather than to God's word. Adam died spiritually. Adam lost true revelation knowledge of God when the five senses became dominant. We cannot live by our five senses, right? We have to live by faith. We can't let those senses rule us. Adam became self-conscious and ashamed as his eyes were open, and Adam became fearful and he hid from God in his presence. He became a coward. So God wanted to cover their sin and redeem man back. So many years later, he had to send his son Jesus. And Jesus identified with a man and overcame Satan in order to regain all authority in heaven and on the earth. So Jesus came as a man and successfully canceled out all Satan's claims. Jesus remained under the Father's authority at all times. Jesus says this in John 12:49. And we could read that. John 49:12-49. He said, this is Jesus saying, for I am not speaking as someone who is self-appointed, but I speak by the authority of the Father himself who sent me and who instructed me what to say. And I know that the Father's commands result in eternal life. And that's why I speak the very words I have spoken to you, or I speak. So Jesus said, I came, and I only came and spoke what the Father God told him to speak. So Jesus was not subject to Satan to anything, in anything. Jesus fulfilled all the law. Jesus was tempted yet did not sin. Jesus was made sin for us, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He became sin for us on the cross. Jesus paid the penalty of sin, his death on the cross, through the death on his cross, on the cross. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. It was all done and paid for on the cross, and that was a finished work, done deal, forever. Jesus completely destroyed, disarmed, conquered Satan through his work on the cross, and Satan had no idea. Hebrews 2:14 says, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death. That is the devil, and the one of my favorite scriptures. Colossians 2:12-15. I love reading this because it really shoves it right into them. It really does. I just love it. Colossians 2:12. Okay. For we've been buried with him into his death. Our baptism into death also means we were raised with him when we believed in God's resurrection power, the power that raised him from death's realm. This realm of death describes our former state, for we were held in sin's grasp. But now we've been resurrected out of that realm of death, never to return. For we are forever alive and forgiven of all our sins. Jesus canceled out every legal violation we had on our record and that old arrest warrant that stood to indict us. He erased it all our sins, our stained soul. He deleted it all and it cannot be retrieved. Don't call your sins back. They're gone. Jesus and Father God, Holy Spirit doesn't even remember them. Everything we once were in Adam has been placed onto his cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. And that also includes the curse of the law, poverty, sickness, and death. Then Jesus made a public spectacle. I love this part. Of all the powers and the principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us, and by the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in a procession of triumph. He was not their prisoner, they were his. Hallelujah. Woo! So I have to give you an illustration, because this is for Annette. Okay, this is Jesus. He's off the cross. He's going down, or wherever hell is. We don't know where it is. They say it's down, but we don't know. Okay? He went down there. He said, ha ha, look at me. They were probably scared, okay? Because now all the authority, God gave him all that authority and power. He's probably beaming and full of this power, and he strips them of every weapon. He takes that, all the death keys and all the sin, and he even lets some people go. And the devil had a fit. So between the day of the crucifixion and the day of resurrection, while in the spirit realm, Jesus destroyed death, the powers of darkness, and every work of the enemy through the blood of his cross. All the enemy's weapons have been stripped away from him. And now the church has authority in Christ to enforce this triumphant upon the dethroned rulers of this world. We keep them dethroned. Okay? We keep them. Tell them, no, you're destroyed. The weapons have been taken away from you. You have no authority. It's over, devil. We take authority. We rule and reign. Amen. It's right. Another example Jesus gave in Luke 11, 21, 22. Let's look at that. Okay, this is Jesus speaking, telling whoever was with him at the time. He says, Satan's belongings are undisturbed as he stands guard over his fortress kingdom, strong and fully armed with this arsenal of many weapons. But when one stronger than he comes to attack and overpower him, the stronger one will empty the arsenal in which he trusted. The conqueror will ransack his kingdom and distribute all the spoils of victory. This is a war, and whoever is not on my side is against me. And whoever does not gather the spoils with me will be forever scattered. When a demon is cast out of a person, it goes to wander in the waterless realm, searching for rest, but finding no place to rest, it says. I will go back to the body of the one I left. When it returns, it finds the person like a house that has been swept clean and made tidy, but is empty. Then it goes and enlists seven demons more evil than itself, and they will all enter and possess the person, leaving that one with such a worse fate than before. While he was saying all this, a woman shouted from the crowd, God bless the one who gave you birth and nursed you as a child. Yes, said Jesus, but God will bless all who listen to the word of God and carefully obey everything that they hear. So Jesus was saying that he overrides the strong man. He overrides his house. He took the weapons. He conquered. He stripped them of all the armor of protection. And then he divides the spoils of his victory back to his disciples, which are us. Jesus is the conqueror, and he has made us more than conquerors. Romans 8:37. We have a glorious victory over every single thing. We have to believe it, walk in it, know it. We must also remember that Jesus gave us power of authority or legal right to use his name. His name has full authority. John 16, 23, 24. I know this is a lot of scriptures, but you need to hear it. It builds your spirit up. 16:23-24. For here is the eternal truth, When that time comes, you won't need to ask me for anything, but instead you will go directly to the Father and ask him for anything you desire, and he will give it to you because of your relationship with me. Until now, you're not been bold enough to ask the Father for a single thing in my name, but now you can ask and keep on asking him, and you can be sure that you'll receive what you ask for, and your joy will have no limits. I like that. We can ask. He says it right here. He said anything. Anything. Because our authority as believers is going to be challenged, we must be prepared. 1 Peter 5:8-9. Be self-controlled. Be alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in faith. James 4:7 says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Okay. Let's look at recognizing the spiritual battle. 2 Corinthians 10:3-4. So he's always looking to see if he could do something against us. But we have to take everything, all our weapons now, which we're going to get to, and come against him. Because we weren't left defenseless. And we have authority, first of all. Okay? I can't, for some reason, I can't see where I'm going. Woo! Holy Spirit, I'm very warm up here. I don't know how you guys are, but it's like, I'm like, wow. Okay, it says, for although we live in a natural realm, which we do, that's our trouble when we live in this natural realm, because we always have a habit of looking at everything like that. We don't wage a military campaign employing human weapons, using manipulation to achieve our aims. Instead, our spiritual weapons are energized with divine power to effectively dismantle the defenses behind each people. Wait, let me say that again. Our spiritual weapons are energized with divine power to effectively dismantle the defenses behind which people hide. We can demolish every deceptive fantasy, which also includes arguments and strongholds, that opposes God, and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture, like the prisoners of war, every thought and insist that it bow to the obedience to the Anointed One. So every time we get those lousy thoughts, we got to take them captive immediately and cast them down. Because that's where he starts. He starts in our mind with these little things, and then we entertain them. Before we know it, you know what I'm talking about. Since we are armed with such dynamic weaponry, we stand ready to punish any trace of rebellion as soon as you choose complete obedience. So we have to be obedient to the word of God. If it doesn't line up with God's word, then cast it down immediately. Don't entertain it. Because sometimes our minds are like bad neighborhoods. We got to get out of there. I remember that somebody used to say that in Inspiration Center. That stuck with me. We are going to stand our ground and resist and fight the fight of faith. Remember to put on the full armor of God. Use the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray at all times without ceasing. Watch and stand alert. Jesus Christ has completely conquered Satan and all his works, and has delegated his authority to his followers to rule and to reign here on this earth till he returns. Remember, we are just like Jesus now because we're born again believers. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that's in me, say that, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Amen. Glory to God. We are strong, mighty warriors. We can go through anything, conquer anything, and we always come out victorious. Right? No matter how it looks, the end result always comes out good. So, Father, we thank you and praise you today for this word. Lord, I thank you that this word has put a strong, like a structure in us, like our spines just got aligned, like a chiropractor. I just see us. Okay? So, Lord, I thank you for that strength. And, Lord, if anybody has problems in their backs right now, I just call them healed from their neck, behind their neck, all the way down to their lower spine. So, Lord, I thank you for that. Thank you for healing. And, Lord, we thank you for strengthening us today. Lord, we thank you that we can go through anything because we are co-seated with you in heavenly places, and we have all the power and all the authority to rule and reign on this earth. Whatever comes our way, we take that authority. We take the word of God, and we use it against the enemy. He is disabled. He is nothing but a big, fat bully. That's it. He doesn't have power, but we give him that power. So, Lord, we thank you. He's powerless. We're going to see him powerless. We're the giants, and he's that little bitty thing. So, Lord, I thank you. Make us mighty in you, Lord, and fill us up with that dynamite power, that dunamis power like we need, Lord, from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet. Lord, we're ready for anything. We got our armor on from salvation, the helmet of salvation, all the way down to our feet are covered. So, Lord, I thank you. It says that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. No weapon. So, Lord, we thank you right now. Every curse word, everything that tries to come against us right now, we call it off assignment. We thank you that we walk in victory, we walk in prosperity, we walk in health. And, Lord, we thank you that our families are walking the same way, Lord. I thank you. I send out that healing word. Now we take authority over every sickness, every disease, every unsaved person, Lord. And we declare everything that we want to see come to pass. You said to ask anything in your name, and it shall be done. So, Lord, we thank you, and we praise you, and we say amen. Amen. Amen.